Hey, everybody, it's Larry Goins. How are you doing tonight?
Doing good.
Hi, how are you?
Excellent. Glad to hear you. Looks like we got a lot of people on the line tonight, and people usually chime in and chime out or log in and log out throughout the call. And if it's your first time, this is my biweekly Q&A call. They're always the second and fourth Monday of the month at 9 p.m. Eastern, as you can tell. And it's your chance to ask any questions about what you are doing, deals you're working on, questions you have about marketing, getting leads, finding deals, selling deals, whatever it is you have a question about. I am here to help you. It's not a training session in the sense that we don't have a planned agenda. It's just here and an opportunity to answer your calls. So with that said, I'm just going to kind of open it up and see if anybody has a question that you want to jump in first with.
Hey, Larry.
Yeah.
It's Bob from Ohio. How you doing?
Good. I'm sorry, who is this?
Bob from Ohio.
Hey, good. How are you?
Good. Hey, what are the rules on advertising a property when you have it under contract?
In what way? Are you referring to, like, if a property is listed on the MLS, and how do you advertise it to wholesale it before you close on it?
Yeah. How can we get in trouble, and how can we stay out of trouble?
Well, here's what you do, okay? Is if the property is listed on the MLS, it's listed with the realtor, whether it's a HUD house or just any other bank-owned property or owned by an individual, but they hired a realtor to sell it. Until you close on it and own it, do not put the address of the property in any of your marketing. In other words, you're not going to put a sign in the yard, obviously, because it has the realtor's sign in the yard. But you're going to put your signs out in the neighborhood and all around on that side of town in front of CVS and Walmart and Walgreens and convenience stores and restaurants and advertise the property for sale, but without the address.
What about a picture?
Sense.
Yeah, what about a picture?
A picture? Well, you probably could do a picture in your advertising, but you got to be careful about that, too, because the realtors very much frown on advertising a property that you don't own yet and haven't closed on it yet. So I would be careful about that. But as long as you don't put the address in there, it shouldn't be a problem.
Okay.
It's not like they can search by a picture and find the house, but if they search by the address and find your ad that has a picture of the house, that's when you would be in trouble.
True. Okay.
Good.
Okay.
I hope that
now,
helped.
It does. It does. Along that same line, my buyer, okay, I'm gonna sell this to a rehabber. My buyer, should he be signing a letter of intent or should he be signing a sales contract?
A contract. You don't need a letter of intent unless you're doing commercial property. Just to see if the seller is willing to accept the terms you're going to offer. But in residential, you typically would only need a contract for the property.
Should there be some type of disclosure about just holding a contract and not being closed on the property yet?
Well, what we have in our contracts, It states in our contracts that us selling the property is subject to us obtaining clear title to the property. Therefore, if we never close on it and obtain clear title to the property, then we cannot convey it to our buyer.
Perfect. Okay, good.
Yeah. And if you want to see a copy of it, if you go to my website, investorsrehab.com, you should be able to see it right there under the related documents and stuff.
Great. Great. Okay.
Awesome.
Cool.
Awesome. No problem. Who else has a question you would like to shoot out there?
I had a question about bidding on HUD properties.
Okay.
Okay, say if you, there's a property you're interested in and it has the icon with the man thinking with a question mark, do I continue to bid close to that price, or do I maybe go lower or close to that price?
Now, say that first part again about the list price.
Yeah, you know how it has the price on there, and it's got the man thinking, okay? And do I attempt to, do I put in a bid close to that price, or would I put in something lower as to maybe that price may be going lower?
You mean based on what you can pay for the property?
Yes.
Okay, give me an example.
Okay, if it's, say if it's $77,000 and it's got
list price.
Right, and it's got the symbol, you know, we're with the question mark and the man on it, okay? At some point in time, they may mark that property down. Would it be a good idea for me to just try to offer a price that I think would be maybe lower than that, or do I just wait until it's already been marked down?
Well,
because
I'm not
it could
sure.
be going
what do you,
down.
What do you mean the question mark with the little man? What does that mean?
Well, you know, you have the price of it, and then some of them you have where you've got like a green arrow where it's already been marked down.
Okay, where they've lowered the price of the property at HUDHomestore.com.
Right.
Okay, yeah. All you really need to do is figure out what the ARV is and what, you know, like your rent comps. The way we analyze a property, we spend about 10 minutes analyzing each property. Well, our VA, Amir, does. Spend about 10 minutes analyzing the property, and he runs the comps, drives the streets on Google Earth, he pulls the rent comps, he looks at all the pictures, he gets a good idea of the amount of repairs and the ARV, and then he runs his calculations, ARV times 0.7 minus repairs minus closing costs minus what we want to make, and there is his number right there. He plugs that number into the spreadsheet. That's how much we can offer on the property.
The formula again.
If you go to ultimatebuyingmachine.com/analyzer, you'll see the analyzer right there, and it's already got the figures plugged in for you.
Okay.
ultimatebuyingmachine.com/analyzer.
Okay.
And it's already got them plugged in.
And so that number, the 0.7 minus the profit and then the other figure, that would be your
estimate. Yeah, the repairs and closing costs, then that's how much you can pay for it, and that's how much you're going to bid on the property.
Okay.
What you bid on it is irrelevant based on what the list price is.
Okay.
It's based on what you can pay for it and make the numbers work. Now, if you're selling the property with seller financing, like you're picking it up for $25,000 or $30,000 and you're going to sell it for $69,900 and get 5 or 10 down and carry the paper and then sell the paper or, you know, whatever, then you can base it off of the cash flow and what that property will rent for. But that's that's different. It's just a way you can pay a little bit more for a property.
Yeah, because I know what you're saying, because if you say you offer close to what they're asking, you know, you'll end up, you know, getting the offer accepted, but it won't necessarily be a deal. You know what I mean?
Right. Exactly. And you got to make sure it's a deal, especially if it's your first one. Remember, guys, your first deal needs to be a home run.
Okay.
Yeah, that's very important. Did that help?
Yes.
Good.
Thank you.
Good. That's why we're here. Excellent. Who else has a question?
Hello, this is Maxine. How are you?
Good. How are you, Maxine?
Fine. Hey, should I focus more on the off-market properties or the FSBOs? Because it seems as though the realtors, they don't want to put in the low offers that the analyzers say we should offer.
Uh-huh.
They don't offer that low. So.
Well, let me ask you a question, Maxine. How many offers have you made?
Well, I had three of them I was going to put in, but she didn't want to put in the offer for that low for what I wanted to do, put in the offer for. She said that it was too low, that they were off selling it for a fair price.
Okay.
So she wants to go a few thousand less than what they were selling it for.
And,
but the analyzer was saying was a lot lower.
I'm with you. I understand. That's not uncommon. So you had three offers you wanted the one realtor to make. How many realtors have you talked to about this?
Only two so far.
Okay. Well, there's your sign. You're going to have to talk to more realtors, and you're going to have to make offers on more properties because it's, you know, to get those kind of deals like you're talking about, like the analyzer will show you you need to do if you're wholesaling, you got to make a lot of offers to get a deal, especially in a market like we're moving into now where there's more support in the marketplace and more people are coming in buying, especially in the spring and summer now. There's more, you know, real estate is getting hot again. People are bidding up properties in different areas of the country. So which means you gotta make more offers and talk to more realtors. And as well as the off-market properties too, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't want you to give up on the realtor stuff. You can still get realtor deals.
Okay.
But you just got to make more offers. Please don't get discouraged if you talk to two realtors and wanted to offer on three houses. Please don't let that discourage you. You know, you got to make a lot more offers than that.
Yeah. All right, thanks.
Good. Did that help?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Good,
thank you.
Good, good. Excellent. Who else has a question?
Larry, this is Sheila.
Hey, Sheila. How are you?
Okay, I don't really have a question, but you know that deal that I was going back and forth with that HUD piece of property?
Yeah, you were pretty close on it.
Anyway, had everything turned in, but I guess I don't think that the agent was used to dealing with out-of-state buyers.
Uh-huh.
So HUD turned around and said all the information was turned into them too late.
It was turned into them late. So it was your agent that turned it in late?
Yes.
Okay. Well, what you might want to do when you start working with an agent like that is talk to the agent and, you know, let them know, hey, I'm out of town. And I just want to make sure that when we get one accepted, because I know that all the paperwork's got to be in there in 48 hours. So I just want to make sure that you're going to be able to get all the paperwork in. Now, what we do, Sheila, is we give our agent power of attorney so they can sign the paperwork for us. So all we have to do is send in the deposit.
Okay, and that's what she had set up, but I guess she thought someone out of state HUD was going to give leeway with, but she's waiting still to talk to some official there down in Alabama that was on vacation.
Well, no, HUD doesn't really care where you live, and they're not going to give you more time or have more leeway. But what you can do is if you miss the deadline, if it shows back up on HUDHomestore.com the next day, just bid on it again, the exact same amount.
Right, and the ones in the office did tell that lady that that's what she needed to do for me.
Right, good.
Uh-huh. But I didn't talk to her today, but I'll be calling tomorrow to find out if she had any kind of update on it. But
good.
Yeah, I'll just go on and move on.
Yeah, well, yeah, you can move on as well, but I would also follow up on that because, I mean, you had a deal there, so...
Yeah.
I would follow up with that and talk to your realtor in advance and let them know that, hey, we got to get this paperwork in. HUD is not flexible just because you're out of state. But, you know, also, you know, one thing you need to be aware of is most real estate agents, they might offer on maybe 5 or 10 HUD houses a year.
Uh-huh.
You know, most of them aren't as familiar as we are, or an agent that's working nothing but HUD, but you know, so most of them don't really know the regulations that they require and how strict they are about different things. So now you get some every once in a while that really know, but for the most part, no, they don't.
Yeah, and I thought this lady knew, being a listed agent and also agent, and also she had a blog on, you know, the procedures with HUD on her website. But anyway, and then I thought, too, that something was the matter because the day that I thought she was going to send me and I would have the contract in my hands, it didn't get there till like 2 days later to me.
Wow.
I thought, okay. And, of course, yeah. I sent everything back the same day.
Uh-huh.
But anyway, it was just...
Wow. Well, you know, and that happens sometimes. We've had it happen to us.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
We've had it happen to us as well, so it's just a part of it.
Yeah.
But maybe you'll be able to pick it back up. When we lose one like that, we just try to go back in there and bid on it the very next day.
Okay.
Good. Well, I hope that helped.
Yeah.
Good. And let me know how it goes. Follow up with me and let me know how it goes. I'll be anxious to see if you get that deal.
Okay. Well, I hated to say this, but I was kind of relieved in a on one hand.
Well, no, don't be feeling like that. You already ran the numbers, and you know it's a deal.
Yeah, but,
right?
You know, I was just so scared still.
What
know?
Did Richard think about that deal?
Oh, he was all for it, and he said, oh, I'll get over
good,
it.
Good, good. Well, you know, I mean, he's done a lot of deals, so, you know, he's not going to let you go wrong.
Yeah, but it was still a concern with that was the only house on the block that the two-story and all the others ranches and what
well,
had been on the market.
Listen, you can
so
sell anything as long as the numbers work.
Okay.
Just remember that, okay?
Okay.
As long as the numbers work.
All right,
good. Well, I hope that helped.
Yeah, it did.
Good. Will you tell him I said hi?
Okay, I will.
All right. Anybody else have a question?
Okay, Larry, I got one for you.
All right.
We have a rental, actually it used to be a rental, that it emptied out. We didn't get into it quick enough, and somebody broke in and stole everything out of there. I mean, it's, you know, it's going to take quite a bit to fix it up and get it re-rented.
Right.
And we have a mortgage on it of $30,000. Any ideas, what suggestions you might have of what we might be able to do to it?
Yeah, call your
We thought about the possibility of somebody working, you know, to fix it up and living there free. They pay the utilities, that kind of stuff. But
well,
just
insurance?
Thought I'd run that by you. What's that?
Do you have insurance that will pay for the vandalism?
No.
Okay. Is there a particular reason that you don't have that kind of insurance?
I mean, we just have the fire.
Yeah, but
I think it's if it.
You can get a policy and talk to your insurance carrier about, you know, covering you when the properties go vacant in between tenants. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, okay, well, we didn't have that.
Okay.
No.
I would, if you have any more or are planning on getting any more, even now, I would still contact them and see what they will would be willing to do, or, you know, even in the future, you know, because if you didn't have it. But I would check. Maybe you do have it. Maybe they do cover you. You just never know.
All right. All right. We will check that out.
But I would definitely check that, and then just ask them about, you know, with your policy, if it will be, you know, if it's automatically converted to a vacant, you know, property or builder's risk in between tenants, like when you're rehabbing it or whatever in between tenants.
Okay.
Yeah, but try that. But if not, you know, about how much work does it need?
I'm taking a guess. It's probably going to need $20,000-$25,000 worth of work. I mean, they took everything. They took the furnace and hot water tank and just stripped it out.
Out of town?
What's that?
Do you live out of state or out of town from where the property is?
No. No, no.
Okay.
Within about 20, 30 minutes from it.
Oh, okay. All right. So once you do that work, what do you think it's worth?
In this market, probably 25.
Oh, okay. So you owe 30.
Yeah.
It needs 25 in work, and it's worth 25.
That's right.
Wow. Who's the mortgage with? Is it with a bank or is it an individual?
Yeah, it's a bank. It's a bank.
Okay.
Fifth Third Bank.
Okay, Fifth Third Bank.
Yeah.
Well, what you might do is, what you might be able to do is go to Fifth Third Bank and see what they would do to help you out on that mortgage. Say, look, I'm upside down in this property. You know, if I did $25,000 worth of work to it, then it would be worth $25,000. So help me out here. What can you do to help me? Because I'm thinking about just giving it back to you.
Yeah, I know. We actually considered that.
Yeah, and just see what they'll do. Yeah.
Okay.
I did that one time on a lake lot.
How'd that work out?
I owed about $450,000 on a really nice lake lot, and they ended up discounting it. I mean, the market had gone way down, and they ended up discounting it about, I think it was a little over $200,000. And so,
really?
Yeah. So I asked them what they, you know, and then they came back and gave me that number, and I said, look, here's the problem with it. I'll be glad to do that, but the only problem is if I pay you off, then I'm going to have to pay taxes on the amount that you forgave, and that's going to cost me another, whatever it was, $50,000 or something. So I got them to deduct another $50,000. When they did that, I said, okay, if you can do that, if you can deduct another $50,000 off of it, I will bring a certified check over to your branch on Friday. And they did it.
Wow.
And then I sold the lot and made $150,000 on it, even though the market was $150,000.
Of course you did. That's great.
Yeah, but, it, I mean, it worked.
I know. That's great.
It worked.
That's great.
Well,
that's an option, absolutely.
Well, I talked to them, and listen, I normally wouldn't do that, something like that, but, you know, they were working with the developer to finance all these lots, and I was actually going to build another house on it and, you know, move in it. But they were working with the developer to finance all these lots, so I went to them and talked to them about the financing, and they said, oh, no, we're not financing stuff out there. The prices have gone down. I said, I know. You got me stuck in this loan with the developer.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about suing you and the developer. So, anyway, but it all worked out, and they reduced the price, and it all worked out. But I would go to Fifth Third Bank and talk to them. Do you bank all with
right.
him as well?
Yeah, we do.
Well, that helps. That absolutely
right.
helps. So I would try
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I mean, we have about 10 mortgages with them, so. Yeah.
Well, that's good.
That's when you could get mortgages.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. Yeah.
Is there a number that you would cut a check to them if they would lower the balance to it? I mean, like,
actually, I haven't.
We'll take the $30,000 and drop it down to $7,500. Would you cut them a check?
Probably.
Well, they, you don't know if you don't ask.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I would. All
right, that's worth a shot.
Them.
Yeah.
You know, if they
okay.
tell them, hey, if you need me to, I'll send you pictures. But
yeah,
the,
no
but
kidding.
The first call I would make would be to the insurance company.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
We'll give those two ideas a shot. I appreciate it.
You might have coverage. Did you file a police report?
No. No,
oh,
I mean,
no, was it?
We've done it. It is last on our list now because we've got other things we're doing, but it's been about a year ago.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know. But you don't know if you don't ask.
No, that's true.
Yeah, so I would ask them, and even if they won't, then what I would do is find out about getting coverage, you know, for when that happens.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Okay.
Good. I hope that helps.
Yep, thank you.
Excellent. No problem. Anybody else have a question?
I had a question about the HUD properties again.
Okay,
and,
sure.
What I was wondering was, like, okay, say for example with myself, when I put in a HUD a bid on a HUD property, I had one agent that does them for me. Would it be advantageous to go with other agents for those for doing the paperwork and so forth, or should I just stick with one?
Well, unless your agent is getting burned out and, you know, tired of making offers to you, and if you're not getting any deals, unless that is happening, then I would not worry about finding multiple agents. I would just use the same agent.
Okay.
Yeah, unless there's a reason that you need to.
I see.
Yeah. Yeah, does that make
sense?
That
makes sense. Yes.
Good, good. Excellent. Anybody else have a question? Well, you guys had some good questions tonight. That's good. Anybody else have a question about anything you're working on or need help with?
I had a question about putting in offers on properties on Investors Rehab.
Uh-huh.
And the question was, okay, if there was a property I was interested in and I put in, submitted the offer, what would the due diligence period be for that? And would I just, like, hire an inspector in that area, you know, do the inspection that way? And would there be any other professionals that I would need, you know, seeing as though I would be buying it from out of state?
Are you talking about buying a house from me?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, a couple of things. If you're buying a house as a fix and flip, is that what you're primarily talking about?
Well, it would be primarily a buy and hold what is that, seller financing or lease option, you know, where it says no bank needed?
Yeah. Let me tell you how that works, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Here's what I'm doing, okay? We are making a lot of offers on houses that do not need any or much work, okay? They may need a little work, you know, maybe the carpets need clean, maybe they could use painting, but basically the house is livable, okay? If we need to, we'll go in there and do some kind of work to the house if we need to, okay? Paint, carpet, whatever, but very minimal. And let me give you a typical deal, okay? We might pick that house up for, I don't know, 30, 25, 30, 35, 40, something like that. Then what we're going to do is we're going to turn around and put a land contract buyer in the house. Let's say that land contract buyer is paying us, let's say, $69,900 for the house, and they're putting $5,000 down. And they're going to be paying us a little over $620 a month for the next 15 years, okay?
Right.
So what I'm doing is I'm going to turn around and sell that house to an investor just like yourself, and I'll sell it one of two ways. I'll either sell it to you for $60,000, you put $30,000 down, and I'll finance the other $30,000 at 0% for 5 years. You just take $30,000 and divide that by 60 months, and that's $500 a month. So you would put $30,000 down, you would collect $620 a month, and you would pay me $500 a month. All right?
I see.
What is your rate of return on that money? Well, here's the way you figure that. First of all, you've got a cash flow rate of return of, if your payment to me is $500, but you're collecting $620, you've got $120 a month cash flow on a $30,000 investment. But in addition to that, at the end of the 5 years, your $30,000 investment has turned into a $60,000 free and clear house. Now, you still get to collect $620 a month for the next 10 years from your land contract buyer. So, in actuality, in 5 years, you have doubled your money. You know, you invest 30. At the end of the 5 years, you know, it's you own it free and clear. So you've got $120 a month cash flow, plus you've doubled your money in 5 years. That rate of return is a little over 15%. But after that, now you collect $620 a month for the next 10 years, and that rate of return, based on a $30,000 investment, and collecting $620 per month is, I'd have to figure it on a financial calculator, but it's over 25% return on your money. In fact, if I'm not mistaken, it's close to 29% return on your money.
And then you could turn around.
I'm sorry?
I was just going to say you could turn around and remortgage it, you know, again.
If you wanted to remortgage it, you could. But also, what you could do is just keep it and let the land contract buyer continue to pay. Now, here's the other thing you could do. If you didn't want to worry about a mortgage and just wanted to get the cash flow now, I'll sell that house to you at a discount instead of 60. I'll sell it to you for 50. You just pay all cash, and you get another discount. So you make it a good return on your money right off the bat, and you have no mortgage, and you have good cash flow.
Well, that's fantastic because there's different avenues, you know.
Absolutely. Now, here's the other good thing, okay? Even though we are selling this house retail to a land contract buyer for $69,900 and they put $5,000 down, by the way, I'm keeping the $5,000, that helps me to be able to sell you the house at a discount.
Okay? Sure.
So here's the thing. Most of the people who are buying these houses at the $69,900 and put $5,000 down, most of them will never pay for the 15 years. We all know most people do not stay in the same house or do not keep the same mortgage. Some will pay off early as they will refinance, which is good. That helps you make more money quicker. Some will sell their property and pay off their loan. And that also helps you to get paid more. But the best thing that can happen, which most of them do, is eventually they're going to default. Eventually. Now, not all of them, but a good percentage of them will. Okay? Probably most of them. And when they default, you simply advertise it again with owner financing. You sell it to somebody else and get another $5,000 down. Now, instead of having $30,000 in it, you got $25,000 in it. And in 2 or 3 years, when they do it again, when they default, they move on, you sell it again and get another $5,000 down. I've done deals before where I had $40,000, $50,000 in the house, and I've had so many people buy it and then move out in 2 or 3 years, I got nothing in the house.
Wow.
And I've probably got, I don't know, I got a couple of those deals right now available. But that's what we're doing more of now than wholesaling, quite frankly, because I can pay more money for the house. If I'm selling you that house for $50,000 cash, okay, I could pay, that house might be listed for $50,000 as is. And I could pay, I could make an offer of $40,000, $45,000. Say I paid $45,000 for that house. I make $5,000 when you buy it, and I made $5,000 from my land contract buyer. So I still made my $10,000 wholesale fee, but I just put a land contract person and sold a house. And here's the thing. I was able to pay much closer to list price for it than a wholesale property. If that property is listed for $50,000, for me to wholesale it, I need to be at $25,000 or $30,000. I just paid $45,000 for it. And I made money, you made money, and the land contract buyer got a nice house that's livable. Now they're becoming a homeowner. It's win-win-win all the way around. Pretty cool.
So that would be a filthy riches.
It's very similar to a filthy riches model, yes, except we're dealing in nicer houses than a $5,000 house.
Okay. Because I spoke with Margaret about that, and at the time she said that some of the other properties were about $10,000 down, and you'd be financing $30,000 on a $20,000 house. You know, that's what you had at that time a couple months ago. And so I take it you've got better properties than that.
We do have some. We have several good properties right now. Actually, we do.
I see.
We do. You could talk. You could call the office and talk to Juanita, or you could just, we'd be glad to help you anyway, any one of us in there.
Okay.
Well, actually, now that I think about it, you know, you don't even have to call Juanita. You're an Inner Circle student. Just shoot me an email or give me a call one day, and I'll be glad to explain it to you and tell you what we got and put you on our list.
Okay, great.
Yeah,
so then I just have
to... You just go through me.
Okay.
Cool. Did that help?
Yes, because I was, when I would, you know, when I got the email from... It may have been Juanita. I still have the email, but I would have to go back and check who it was exactly. But, you know, I called her and stuff, and she told me what would be a good amount to put down and so forth. And then, you know, I could deal with it from that point of view. And so then that way, the amount of money that I had for, you know, for buying properties and the like, you know, that would be separate. Then,
I'm not
sure
she realized that you were an investor looking to buy them after we put a land contract person in there. I'm thinking she might have thought you were the land contract person trying to buy it to live in it.
Right. I did tell her that I was a Inner Circle student, but I think you're right.
Okay. Yeah, based on the terms you told me, that's what it sounds like.
I see.
Yeah.
So then I would just pay, they would pay the note because they would be buying it on the land contract, and then the cash flow would be what's left after the note.
Right.
After the note's been paid. Okay.
Right. Right. You're basically going to double your money. If you put 30 down and I finance 30, you're going to double your money in 5 years, plus you get a little bit of cash flow in the meantime.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can't beat that. I mean, you're picking them up, you know, pretty quick at that rate.
Right.
That's what I thought was pretty attractive, you know.
Right. Yeah, just shoot me an email. I'll be glad to tell you what we got available.
Okay.
Yeah. Good. I hope that helped.
Yes, thanks.
Oh, sure. Anytime. It's my pleasure. Anybody else have a question?
Hi, Larry. I have a question. I'm wondering, what is your opinion of putting a turnkey rental property into a self-directed IRA?
Well, are you thinking about buying one?
Yes.
Okay. How much money do you have to work with, if you don't mind me asking? If you do, it's okay. You don't have to tell me.
Well, we were going to use our IRAs and convert them to self-directed, so maybe, say, one of them is, for example, $150,000.
Okay. Well, here's my thought about the turnkey, all right? Most people who are selling turnkey are selling properties at retail. They're buying them for, you know, $20,000, $25,000. They're putting another $10,000 or $15,000 in work, and they're selling them for $69,000, $79,000, $89,000, whatever, and they're selling them retail. Now, when they put a tenant in there, it's a tenant, okay? Number one, they're not going to take care of the house, okay, because they're renting it. And number two, they are going to move out. I mean, there's no question about whether they're going to move out eventually. They will eventually move out of that house, okay? Now, when you're buying turnkey, you know, if your rent is $900 a month, you got to take out maintenance, which is usually somewhere between 5 and 10%, so $45 to $90 a month for maintenance. Then you got to take out taxes and insurance and repairs and maintenance, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So your $900 a month goes down to about $650 a month, okay? Well, that's the thing I love so much about these lease option deals that I'm doing, okay? I'm putting a land contract buyer in there. The land contract buyer is going to pay me $69,900, and they're going to put $5,000 down, for example. There is no management with that. They're buying it, so there's no repairs or maintenance, and my land contract buyer is paying all taxes and all insurance. So if the payment is $620 a month, it's $620 a month net. There's no expenses coming out of it. So I could sell that house to another investor for $40,000, $45,000, $50,000, and they get a good return on their money with no headaches, no management, no, and nobody's getting in your pocket. Nobody's charging you maintenance, repair fees, charging you for property management or anything like that. And yeah, some of them are going to pay off. Some of them are going to refinance and pay off. Some of them will sell, and some of them will default, which the vast majority of them eventually will default. And I don't want you to think that's a bad thing. That's actually the best thing that can happen. Because, number one, you get to keep a long-term investment. And, number two, you get more money down for not doing anything, for the other person defaulting. In fact, that's the best thing that can happen is they default. Because if you paid $50 for the house, somebody else puts another $5, now you got $45 in it. A couple of years later, you got 40 in it. A couple years later, you got 35 in it. So you're getting a really, really good return on your money. Now, I don't want you guys to think that I'm doing this planning on them defaulting. I am selling them the house. I'm trying my best to help them become a homeowner. But the fact of the matter is not everybody follows through. Okay? That's just the way it is. So the people who are buying these houses from me really love this. because it's not turnkey. They're getting the property at a little discount. It's not a huge discount, but they're getting the property at a little discount as opposed to paying full retail for turnkey. And it's 100% net cash flow. There's nothing coming out of the cash flow. No taxes, insurance, repairs and maintenance, or property management. So that's my thoughts on turnkey. You can do it. You can make a decent return, but you can make a lot better return doing what I'm doing. And you can also buy notes. You can create notes and a lot of other stuff you can do in your self-directed retirement account.
So would you recommend then we buy a property from you and put that into our IRA instead?
You don't have to buy it from me. I mean, you're in my inner circle. You could go out here and do your own deal. You could go out here and find a house for $40,000 and sell it for $69,900 and get $5,000 down and finance it. Or if you just wanted somebody else to do all the work and collect the cash flow, you know, pay an extra $10,000 and I'll do all the work for you, if that makes it in any sense.
Okay, some people we've talked to, like, they're totally opposed to putting real estate in a self-directed IRA in any form.
Yep, some people do not like doing that. And you can do an IRA trust, okay, an IRA-owned trust. You can do an LLC, and the LLC owns the real estate, but the LLC is owned by the IRA. So there's a lot of different ways you could do it, but you could also do notes if you want to. You could buy the property and sell the property and carry back a note. So now you own the note in your IRA and not the real estate. There's a lot of different ways you can do it.
Would you mind me asking if you personally have any real estate in any of your IRAs?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
I have some real estate for long term, and I have some for flipping. I currently am doing deals to turn the deals. I've got two deals that I'm doing buy and sell, where I'm really wholesaling deals. I've got two in my IRA, and I have two in my HSA, my health savings account that I'm doing.
Okay. Because, you know, we really think that there's going to be a market correction. Like, I mean, the market went up 130 points today in 5 minutes because of the deal, you know, with Greece. And so we really think probably this fall there's going to be a big correction. So that's why we'd kind of like to protect our money instead of it being in our IRAs being in stocks. We'd like them to be possibly in real estate of some sort.
Well, I can't say as I blame you there. If you want to give me a call one day or shoot me an email, I'll be happy to sit down and talk with you about different options available. Because, I mean, it's just one of the things I do is inner circle student. Any of you guys, if you have, you know, you want to sit down and talk about this, about what I'm doing or about what you should do with some money like that, you know, whether you should do your own deals or do turnkey or do, you know, something else. You know, there's a lot of different things out there you can do. And I'll be glad to help you guys in any way that I can.
Okay, that sounds great. We will give you a call and talk to you about that. Thank you very much.
That sounds good. Just let me know. I'll be glad to do it.
Okay, thanks, Larry.
You're very welcome. I'm glad to. Anybody else have a question?
Well, I did have a question about the just wanted to run this by you as far as buying the 10 properties, you know, paying cash for them, and then after you've accumulated 10, do a remortgage all of them, where they would give you a loan for 70% of the value of them. I was wondering if you like that strategy at all, because then you know you have the value of the 70% of them, and then you could use that and buy more properties, or at least down, you know, down payments on some.
Well, are you planning on keeping them as rentals?
Yes.
Yeah, that sounds fine. So you're initially going to just pay cash for the properties, correct?
As far as accumulating, I wanted to accumulate some with cash, and then the other ones, like what you were proposing, you know, after 5 years, you know, they would be in cash anyway, you know,
okay.
Once you pay that.
Well,
note,
if your plan is to remortgage the properties,
yes,
and that is your long-term plan, I would just make sure that you're in a position and you would qualify or whatever for whatever type of loan and financing, and that you could get 70% of the value as far as on a refinance, a cash-out refinance.
Right.
Yeah, and just make sure that all that is in place, so you would be able to get the loan, to get the money back, to be able to continue to do more deals.
Okay.
Yeah, good. Did that help?
Yes, yes.
Good.
So it would be the kind of thing, you know, as you know, maybe progress through it, you know, because you are holding them and you're not holding any notes on them, right? So well, just say, for example, you had some and some you didn't. Well, you know, you'd still have the maintenance and all these other things, insurance and taxes, but at the same time, you're building your equity up in them, and then you're also, you know, taking care of your credit over here so that
That's
you
right.
can qualify for them, you know.
That's right. That's good. Just keep your debt ratio in line so you will be able to qualify for the financing.
Okay.
Good. Cool. Did that help?
Yes.
Great. Great. Awesome. Anybody else have a question? What? No more questions? You guys have had some awesome questions tonight. That's good stuff.
It's been a good conversation, you know.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, it's good stuff.
I'll give
anybody
you
else have a question?
Yeah, I've got one.
Okay.
Do you
good.
See HUD moving to the Do you see HUD moving to the 24-hour turnaround more and more?
You mean where your documents have to be back in 24 hours?
Yeah. My last deal was that way.
I only see one asset manager that we work with doing that, and I don't really foresee that coming into play throughout the whole, you know, all of HUD's properties. That's just this one asset manager that we work with that does that. The other two we work with, they don't do that at all. But I don't see that coming into play as something that they're going toward at all. I think that's more of an asset manager thing than a HUD thing.
Which one is that?
You know, I was sitting here trying to think which one it is. It's either Ofori,
I just did one with
Telos, or PEMCO, but I don't know which one.
It's Ofori.
Do what?
It's Ofori. I just did one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And the other thing too is you gotta select your attorney and know who your attorney is, you know, up front too. So you gotta have all this stuff lined up. And that could be a little tricky getting everything lined up.
Yeah, they let you send it in without the attorney and then they come back with a list and you can add it.
That's good. Yeah.
That
You're
asset
right.
manager
you are right.
does. So
yeah.
yeah. Yeah.
That's true. Were you able to get your deal done?
Got my deal done, got it sold to a rehabber, made $5,000.
Awesome. That's great. Good for
cool.
you. Congratulations.
Yeah.
That's excellent.
In 6 days.
6 days. That's great. Was that your first deal?
Yep. First deal.
That's awesome. Good. Where was it?
Up in Ohio. It was in Akron.
Cool. That's really good. Well, congratulations.
Thanks.
That's really good. That's a good feeling, isn't it?
It is. It is.
You know, it's the best feeling when you get your very first deal under your belt. It's done, closed, money in the bank. One of the first things you say is, man, this really does work.
Yeah. Well, I lost two other HUD deals before that.
Uh-huh.
One was a broker error, and then the other one was HUD couldn't get title, couldn't get a transferable title to the property.
I've had that happen. I've had both of those things happen.
Yeah.
I had both of those things. Sheila just talked about a minute ago about a HUD agent that didn't get the paperwork in on time and messed up.
Right, right.
But that happens. That's just the way it is.
Yeah.
That's for sure. Well, congratulations.
Thanks.
Anybody else have a question?
You've had, how many agents did you have that work on HUDs for you?
We just have one in each state that we're working in, and we're pulling back some because we're finding that, you know, it's better for us to concentrate on some more specific states. There for a while we were just going crazy in like 12 different states, but we're really focused on about 5 different states right now. So we have an agent for each state, except in North and South Carolina, we have one agent for North and South Carolina.
I see. Both North and South Carolina, I've looked on the HUD home store. Well, in fact, today, there's a lot of deals on there on both of those states, you know.
Well, quite frankly, there's not near as many deals in North and South Carolina as there are, say, Ohio or Indiana or Illinois or, you know, some of those states. I think there was, the other day I looked on there and it seemed like there was 400 in Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
There's less than 100.
Yeah, but they're all junk. Don't come up here.
I hear you. Don't worry. I'm not heading up that way. Don't worry. But I mean, you guys got a lot more opportunity to get some good deals up there than we do on HUD. So,
our biggest problem is.
Go ahead.
Our biggest problem is plumbing. It all freezes.
Yeah,
so.
And that's the one of the reasons I stay out from up north is I don't want to have to deal with that stuff in the wintertime, you know. So
yep.
I don't want to have to do that. But I got a good friend who is up in Indiana and works those three states I just mentioned. So, you know, I just stay out of there anyway, just if no other reason, just for that. Because he's very big and doing a lot of deals up there. And with HUD,
is he doing like say like Indianapolis area?
Yeah, he does that. He does all of Illinois and all of Indiana, and it moved into Ohio recently.
Because they were just like you mentioned earlier. There's a lot of good stuff. You know, if you have you were saying, you know, have a team in place.
Right.
It takes a little bit of time, you know, to get to know the different people, and you have to try them, trial and error. But like here in Toledo, I've got a really good plumber, you know, and so that's been a benefit, and it's kind of made me kind of centralize, you know.
Are you in Toledo?
Yes.
Oh, I'm coming to the RIA group there next month.
Oh, I've got. I missed you last year. You came last year too, right?
No, I didn't come last year. I was supposed to, but my flight got canceled in the wintertime because of weather.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, Anna Mills Group.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'll be there next month.
Okay, great. I've got to go to that.
Cool.
And I'll point you out, and I mean, I'll point myself out. But I talked to you in Chicago and also Strongsville when you came over there at the Holiday Inn last year.
Wow.
That was nice. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, cool.
And I learned a lot.
That's good. That's good. Well, does anybody else have a question?
I'm voting we let Larry go to bed or spend time with his family since it's 10 o'clock.
Hey, listen, I'll be on here as long as you guys have questions. It doesn't really matter to me, but I appreciate you saying that.
Okay.
But I'll be, that was very nice of you, but I'll be on here absolutely as long as you guys have the questions coming. That's what I do. I enjoy doing it. I love real estate. I love talking about real estate, so... whatever you guys have. If you need me, I am here. So does anybody else have a question?
Well, I did have a question about if I wanted to buy property to, say, live in or something like that, or something that I would own out of state, you know, like vacation property or something like that.
Right.
Would it be a good idea if you wanted creative financing and didn't want to work with a bank, but you didn't want to pay cash for it, right, would it be a good idea to land contract that out or do a lease option on that?
Well, if you're going to live in it, why would you do that? I don't understand the thinking behind that. If you're buying it to live in it, why would you land contract it out or lease option it if you're going to live in it?
Well, then you wouldn't have to come up with, you know, all the cash for it, the whole amount of cash, you know, at one time.
I'm not sure I follow you. Run me through what you're – tell me what you're thinking about doing.
Okay. See if – there's a property that I wanted to buy, and I wanted to use it for vacations, you know, stuff like that. Say it's down in South Carolina, right? I go there every other month or whatever. Would it be better to just use a creative financing method instead of coming up? Say if the house was $50,000, and I'd be using it as a vacation property. Would it be better to use some other type of creative financing instead of just paying cash for it? You know, so you wouldn't have to come up with that $50,000 all at once.
Well, if you either borrow private money, hard money, or go to a bank, or seller financing, that's really all that you have to work with.
Okay.
And so if it's a HUD property, it's going to be cash to HUD. If it's a bank-owned property, it's going to be cash to the bank. You know, if it's a realtor-listed property, it's going to be cash to the seller, whoever it is. So then you have to look at your different financing options. Private money, hard money, cash partners, credit partners, whatever the case may be. But the only way you could do seller financing is if you're buying from an individual.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it does.
Good. Well, I hope that helped. Cool. Does anybody else have a question? Going once, going twice. Guys, I really appreciate you being on here. You guys have had some great questions tonight. But just know that you can always email me or call me in between. Shoot me an email to larry@larrygoins.com. Put inner circle in the subject line. I'll answer it as soon as I see it or shortly thereafter, usually within an hour or two a lot of times. Sometimes in just a few minutes. But anyway, be sure and hit me up and let me know if you have any questions whatsoever. And if I can help you with anything, please don't hesitate to call or email me. And those of you who want to know more about what to do with your money or about self-directed retirement accounts or using, you know, IRA trust or LLCs for that, you know, give me a call and let me know. I do have an inner circle group at my office this week. So I will be tied up with that this week, but you can leave a message for me. I'll call you back. I'll be more than happy to do that and see what we can do to help you. So with that, I really appreciate your business, and thanks a lot for your trust in me and my team. And if we could do anything, please let us know. So, guys, thanks a lot for being on here tonight. I really appreciate it. I hope you guys have a great night.
You too.
Thanks.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks,
everybody.
Bye.